Of every name, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we exalt you, we worship you, we praise you, we lift you up, we magnify you, God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Oh, you are welcome in this place. We love you, God. We need you. We worship your name. We magnify you, Jesus. You are great, and you are greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to the book of Mark. Glad you're able to brave this wind and the snow and the weather and make it to the house of God today. It's a wonderful place to be. No other place can affect you like this place. You can't find the presence of God anywhere else. It's the best place to be. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Another scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a wonderful thing, just a taste of the presence of God, the taste of how wonderful the Lord is. He can touch us in ways that no man can touch us. He can touch us in ways that your best friend can't touch you. He's the wonderful, wonderful Savior, wonderful, wonderful God. And I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to know Jesus today. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to talk for a little bit from the book of Mark. I'll read a few verses. Mark chapter 16. Familiar passage of scripture for many of you. We're going to read verses 15 through 18. And it says, Jesus giving the great commission. And he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall recover. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Today we worship your name. Lord, we want you to be welcome in this house. Lord, we want you to be here with us today. Lord, that you would touch us. Lord, that you would change our hearts. Lord, that you would transform us with the power of your Holy Ghost. Lord, that you would visit us in this place today. We love you, Jesus. We worship your name. You are great and greatly to be praised. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, you may be seated. You may be seated. Just got back from youth retreat. We shed some sweat, some blood, I think maybe even a few tears. We had a great old time. Now we're back, and we'll see what the Lord will do today. Amen. Just love the Lord. Mark chapter 16. Jesus giving the Great Commission, talking about what will happen to the followers, to the people that would receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that some of these things are pretty powerful. Now, you gotta be careful with that stuff. Some people would take it too far and start bringing in snakes and serpents into the house of God and poison and start drinking it. That's not my kind of thing. If our pastor starts doing that, I'm leaving. I'm finding a different church because I can't handle that. I might have to drive a couple hours or something, but if we're going to have rattlesnakes and dancing around with those things, I'm out of here. So you got to understand what's going on. But there's a power that comes on us when we receive the Holy Ghost, and I believe that that's something to be desired. And we know, many of us, we understand that there is great power that comes with the Holy Ghost. But I want to take it a step further and think about it in this way, that we need to desire the power. We need to desire the Holy Ghost, desire the power, have a passion for the things of God, a desire for the things of God, the desire for the great things of God, the great things that he has for us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be content and happy with a shallowness of just covering the basics and coming to church a little bit and then going home. And we're not really changed. We just have our own lives, and church is just a little bit of a sideshow thing that we do. But I believe that it's that Jesus wants to be our best friend. He wants to be the main thing that's going on in our lives. He wants us to be consumed with that relationship with him. And that's where we want to be, to where we're consumed with that relationship and we desire the Lord. We desire him more than anything else, and we desire him. We must have a desire. I believe that we are not called to simply sit on a chair in this place and let the world pass us by. But the Bible says that we would be a light set upon a hill that cannot be shut out. A light set upon a hill that cannot be shut out. I believe that it's time to tap in and use the power that we have through the Holy Ghost. That's important. We got to repent, got to be baptized in the name of Jesus, take on the name of Jesus on our lives, and we receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, and we can tap in to an amazing, amazing power. Now, I like to liken it to a farmer and his field. You can desire a great crop, but there's going to be some work involved to get that crop. You can go out and buy your seed, but if you throw your seed in the shop, sit around, it's not going to plant itself. It's not going to grow. It's not going to harvest itself. It's just going to stay sitting in the shop or whatever you put it. But I believe that when we receive the Holy Ghost, you liken the Holy Ghost just for a moment to that seed. You may not like the example, but the point that I want to make is that you take that seed and you put it into the ground, and it's going to begin to grow. It's going to begin to grow when you water it, or make sure that has the fertilizer, the necessary water, the make sure the weeds are taken care of. It's going to begin to grow. And before long, you're going to have a crop, and you can harvest it. But it's not going to get there by itself. There's going to be work involved to get us to that point. And so that's the illustration that I want us to think about with it. We receive the Holy Ghost, but I believe that there's a relationship with God that's got to be cultivated and that's got to be maintained for us to really tap in and really access the power with God that he wants us to have on a daily basis as we go about our lives. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. There's a power and there's a dimension that we can step into when we desire the power and we pursue the power. We need to be in a state where we're pursuing that power, pursuing the great things of God, and pursuing a greater dimension. Think about somebody that is learning how to swim. You step into the shallow end, at least maybe when you learn how to swim, you jumped off into the deep end and floundered around and you're here today, and so you must have survived. But when I was trying to learn how to swim, I'd want to go on the shallow end. And I'd wade out into the water, and I might go up. It might go up to my waist, maybe even my chest. And I could go and splash around in the water and try to swim. But I knew if I got in trouble, then all I had to do is stand up. And my head's going to be above the water, and I'll be fine. And so do that for a while. And so it took a while before you'd go and jump off of the deep end and see what would happen. Take a while to gain that confidence and to get that built up. I believe that in living for God today, perhaps some of us have been on the shallow end where we're not really stepping out as far as God wants us to step out into. And we're just kind of staying in that place where we feel safe and where we feel comfortable. But I feel like it's coming to a time where we need to kind of trust God. We need to have that confidence that God's going to be with us, God's going to take care of us, and where we can jump off into the deep end and see how God might use us, see the power that might come into our lives, and see what God might be able to do through us when we jump off into that deep end with him. The presence of God is an amazing thing. The Holy Ghost is an amazing thing. It's something to be desired. It's something to be wanted. The Bible says that every man in Christ is a what? a new creature, a new creature. Old things are passed away, and that all things are become new. It's a wonderful thing. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new life. It's a whole new way of living. You're a new creature, a new creation in God. And so the presence of God is able to change us and to mold us and to shape us and to transform us, not just change us, but to completely transform, and so that we are a completely separate person than when we were before God. Completely separate, completely changed, completely transformed from that point. The world, you may have been depressed. You may have been ready to commit suicide. But in Jesus, you can have meaning for life. You can have you have a reason for your tomorrow, a reason to get up in the morning, and you have a reason to live. You may have been used up and tossed aside, but in Jesus, you've got potential, and you've got a reason to continue on and to go forward. And so the Holy Ghost, it's something obviously to be desired, but the power that comes with the Holy Ghost is something that we want to have. Now, what would happen to this city? What would happen to this place if there was tons of people that were desiring to walk in the power that God has for us? What would happen? I believe that there's no other force, there's nothing else in this world that can come against that and that can take over the Holy Ghost. The only thing that can quench it and to take it out, I believe, is that it's ourselves. The enemy can't do it. He can put distractions into your life. He can do things to choke it out, but really ourselves. And so when we give ourselves and sacrifice ourselves over to God, then there is nothing that can stop us, and there's nothing that God cannot do through us. And so when we get past through and we get into that realm, into that focus, into that mindset, then what can stop us? Nothing. But we got to get to that point. We're not content with a secondhand relationship with God or experience with God. But we got to get to that point where you want it, you desire it, you're passionate for it, you're seeking it, and you're pursuing it. You're striving for it. You're reaching for it. You're pressing towards it. You're contending for it. You're fighting for it. You want it more than anything else. And I believe when we do that, we're pushing past ourselves. We're pushing past obstacles, things in the world, that we can reach it and we can obtain what it is that God would have for us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stuck in a cycle where you barely get out of it. And then you're just right back in. You just get enough to go to that next service, and then you're pushed back right where you were. But I want to be in that place where I can move forward. Yeah, sometimes you need a breakthrough. Sometimes you need an experience with God. But we can get past that point, and we can move forward in Jesus. And that's where we want to be. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave a parable. It's the sower of the seed. And it's a familiar parable. He sowed seed. Some fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony places. Some fell on good ground. Some fell among thorns. And it was choked up. In verses 19 through 23, it says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, he is offended. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Today, I believe that we need to choose what kind of ground that we are going to be today. When the God puts his Holy Ghost inside you, or he gives you the opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost, we need to decide, what kind of ground am I going to be? Am I going to let it soak into my life? Am I going to not let the thorns of the world choke it out? Am I going to receive it? Am I going to take it? What am I going to do with it? I don't know about you, but I want to be good ground for that Holy Ghost, that word that would come into my life. We need to make sure that we are good ground. You may have been coming to church for a long, long time, or maybe a very short time, but it still remains that we need to make sure that we're good ground, not just spring up quickly and then have no root, but we need to put down roots into this thing and desire more of God. I believe that this thing is kind of winding down. And so it's time that the church of God steps out into greater power and greater anointing than ever before. In Acts chapter 8, it says that, therefore, they that were scattered abroad, they that were persecuted, there was great persecution on the church, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So when hell turned up its heat against the church began to multiply that much faster, that much faster. And I believe today that we're coming to the point where we don't know how much longer things are gonna last. You just don't really know. And you've been hearing that for a long time, and you've been hearing people say it, and it can be easy to get comfortable. It can be easy to get in the zone where you think, well, maybe I really have quite a bit of time. But I believe that now more than ever before, it's time to really grasp a hold of this thing, take a hold of the power, and we need to use the power that God is trying to give us, trying to place into our hands. We cannot be happy with just normal, but I believe that it's time to be discontented with normal and to let normal to be redefined. Normal be redefined, where it's walking with the power of God, walking with dominion and with authority. Romans 1:16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's for everybody. And we, the church of God, must not be ashamed of the gospel. The church, the world is not ashamed of the vileness. The world does not seem to be ashamed with the corruption, with the way people live and act and go about business. In fact, it seems to be flaunted right in our faces. And I believe that now more than ever before, it's time for the church to stand up, and we cannot be ashamed of this gospel, but we must burn brighter and stronger than ever before. There's a great pressure to blend in, but God never intended for that to happen. He intended for us to stand out from the very beginning. Today, do you have a desire for more? Do you have a desire to go in deeper in God? Or are you happy and contented with potential that is unrealized, that is lying within your grasp? Are you happy with that? Are you contented with that? Or are you actively pursuing God, desiring God and what he has for your life? Let's lay aside distractions. Let's lay aside things that would prevent us from attaching ourselves to those great things that God has. I'm not happy with just hearing about it, but I want to grasp it, and I want to possess it, and I want to take hold of it. It's time for us to step out into that place where we're deeper with God, deeper with God. We must be ready and sensitive so that God is there, just right there, and he can use us whenever he would desire to, whenever he would need us. A sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, a desire for the Holy Ghost. Do you desire it? I think about a couple women in the Bible that they desired to have children, and the way that they went about it is quite amazing. Hannah, for one, she came to the house of God. She prayed so long. She was there so long, and she prayed so long that after a while, only her lips were moving. She had such a long prayer meeting that after a while, her her strength was just drained out to the point where only her lips were moving. That's how desperate, that's how much she desired to have it. Another in the Bible, Rachel, she desired a child, and she told to her husband, she said, "Give me children or else I die. Or else I die." It was larger than life for her. It was consuming her life. It was what she wanted, what she desired more than anything else. Folks, what is our passions that we desire more than anything else? Is it some job? Is it some things on the side? Or is it Jesus? We got to get to this point where we're completely consumed with Jesus. We're completely consumed with him, with passion, with desire, a longing for him more than anything else. It's time to step into the water deeper than ever before. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Go farther. Go through the door. Go. Explore what God has for us. There's a lot of wonderful things in the Word of God. There's a lot of wonderful things that God has for his people. But if we just have a superficial understanding, if we just are content with scratching the surface, then we're not going to be able to step out, and we're not going to be able to do the things that God has ordained for us. Do you desire? Do you even want it? I believe that there's some people in this place that you desire God. You desire him. You want him more than anything else. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in that place where we're pursuing it, and we want him more than anything else. It's the thing that matters most in our lives. And when we step into that realm, I believe that we'll be amazed with the power that God can put on our lives, the power that God can, with which that he can use us, and we can do some great and mighty, wonderful things for God. Amen, amen. I'd like to leave you with, I'm almost done. There's one more thing that I'd like to bring up here in 2 Kings chapter 13, 14 through 19. I'd like to bring you to Elisha, the man of God. He's almost dead. He's just almost there. And the king comes to visit him, and it says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, 'O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And Elisha said unto him, 'Take bow and arrows.' And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, 'Put thine hand upon the bow.' And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, 'Open the window eastward.' And he opened it. Then Elisha said, 'Shoot.' And he shot. And he said, 'The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them.' And he said, 'Take the arrows.' And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, 'Smite upon the ground.' And he smote thrice and stayed." Pay attention to this last verse, and it says, "And the man of God was wroth with him and said, 'Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice.'" Smite Syria, you'll have 3 victories, and then it's over, and then it's done. I believe that today you've got the arrows in your hand. You've got the Holy Ghost in your hand. You've got a power that God is wanting to give you. What are we going to do with it? Are we just going to be content to just smite the ground a couple times, have a couple victories, have some good times in the Lord, and then go home and go about business as usual? Or are we going to get passionate about God and smite the ground until the man of God has to tell us to stop smiting the ground? Are we going to get passionate about God until we're able to step out into the realms, into places that we never even dreamed were possible, and God can begin to use us in great things, and we can have a complete victory, not a couple victories, but a complete victory with what God has for us today. God is wanting to give you power. God is wanting to give you, he wants his Holy Ghost to not just be inside you, but to be a living thing, and to be something that he can use it for his will, for his kingdom, whenever it is that you never know when you might see somebody that God is wanting to impact and God is wanting to affect. And if we're not allowing ourselves to be sensitive and to be in that realm where we're connected with it, then we can miss opportunities and things can pass us by. I believe that it's time to go deeper, and we're going to see a great things. We're going to see a great revival if we catch a hold of this thing and we really pursue God and we really desire God and desire the great things of God more than anything else in our life. I'd like to please stand as we end. Think about it today. Do you want the power? Do you desire God? Do you desire the great things? Are you contented to just let the things that God has to pass you by? To pass you by. I don't know about you, but I want to grab a hold of it. I want to use it. I want to be whatever it is that God would have for us. It's not about who has the most anointing or the most talents or the most abilities or the greatest pedigree, but who has the greatest hunger for God and who has the greatest desire for God, desire to be used by God, who has the greatest, who has the most passion, who's really, really passionate and willing to step out and be used by God. Who is it? Who is it? God wants you. God's drawing for you. God desires you. What are we going to do? We love you, Jesus. All right, let's conclude. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We worship you. We love you. We magnify your name. Oh, Lord, we need you, Jesus, more than anything else. I pray, God, that Lord, that we would be consumed with passion for you. Desire for you, God, more than anything else, more than anything in this world, God, that we could step into that realm, into that place that you want us to be. Lord, I believe that it's time that we be the church and the people, Lord, that you would desire for us to be. And I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, that you would direct our steps, direct our paths, Lord, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, and Lord, that you would be with us and help us, Lord, so that we can do that what you would desire for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be dismissed.